Blog Talk Radio.
We are truly blessed. We have Eddie Smith from USPrayerCenter.org based in Houston. Eddie is a member of America's National Prayer Committee, the International Prayer Council, the International Strategic Prayer Network, and the International Reconciliation Coalition. He is a contributor to Charisma Ministries Today, Spirit-Led Women, New Men and Prayer Magazines, as well as an occasional guest on CBN's 700 Club. Eddie and his wife Alice served 16 years in itinerant evangelism and 14 years in the local church before they started up the Prayer Center in Houston in 1990. Lady Smith, thank you so much for being on the program today. So Eddie, I'm wondering, can a Christian have a demon?
Well, one would wonder why he would want one, of course. I was asked that at a conference, and I said he can have whatever he wants. I did have an experience with a Pentecostal denomination here in the United States that invited us to speak at their annual convention, and the leader of the denomination, actually later I spoke for the entire denomination, but this was one of the southern states, and he said, I would like you to take 8 to 9 in the morning and teach our pastors. And I said, teach them what? He said, just whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And of course I rejoiced, because that means I don't have to prepare anything. So after 50 years in the ministry, if I don't have anything on my heart, I'm in trouble. So I did, and the first morning I got there, and there was about 150 pastors in the room, and it was a compact room, and everybody was up close and personal, and I had a blackboard, and just a perfect setting. And I began teaching, and I said, I'm here for you. Whatever is on your mind, I'll be glad to address and give you my perspective, my point of view. And don't allow my certainty to be your certainty. You need to get that from the Holy Spirit. But the fact that I am certain doesn't mean I'm right. So you have to determine what is true. But I will certainly share with you transparently and openly as much as I can about whatever would interest you. And the first question was, can a Christian have a demon? And, of course, I said what I just said to you just then, and everybody laughed. And then they wanted to know, how could a demon live in the same body with the Holy Spirit? I mean, the Holy Spirit lives inside of a believer. How can a demon? I said, well, you got a couple of problems with your perception. One is, you're thinking that time and space have something to do with spirit, and there is no time and space in the realm of the spirit. So are contained in a physical body, and in the way we think of it. But the second thought is, how could some of those God-awful thoughts that you have occur in a mind where the Holy Spirit also dwells? And they all admitted that I might have something there. So anyway, I finished the morning, and it was a long morning, and I talked about generational iniquity, and I talked about demons that pass from generation to generation, familiar spirits, and I talked about the fact that demon possession doesn't appear in the Bible, but the closest thing we can say to it is a person is affected by demons or demonized, and that we know that deliverance, Jesus said, is the children's bread. So the real question is, can a lost person be delivered? That should be the first thought, since deliverance is the children's bread. And by the way, about half the people that have come to me for deliverance over the past 50 years weren't saved. They had all the religious trappings, they had a lot of the feelings, but it didn't take us long to discover that they didn't know him. But the bottom line is, as he and I went to lunch that day, he said, "Well, you sure stirred up a hornet's nest." And I said, "How's that?" He said, "Well, in our denomination, we do not believe, and we teach that a Christian cannot be demonized in any way, and that when God saves you, he puts a bloodline around you, and demons can't cross that line." And I said, "That's kind of unfortunate if they're inside before you get saved." He laughed. I said, "Now, tomorrow morning, here's what needs to happen. You are their shepherd. I'm not. So you need to take the opening and tell them that Mr. Smith shared with you yesterday his perception. Actually, our perception is different, and our conviction is different. What we teach as a denomination is different. Let me share with you what that is. And, just feel free to tell him Eddie is stupid, whatever you want to say. But try to correct the record." He said, "No, don't do that." He said, "It doesn't hurt them to get a different perspective or a different point of view. And like you said at the beginning, they need to get their truth from the Holy Spirit. So let's just leave things like they are and trust God." And I said, "Well, that'll be good." So the next morning, we started teaching Tuesday morning, and I decided to teach something safe. So I thought, well, we'll do the concentric circles, the body, soul, and spirit, or spirit, soul, and body, as it truly is in Scripture. And so as I was going along, teaching that the spirit makes us God conscious, that the soul makes us self conscious, that the body makes us earth conscious, and that when God saves us, he comes into our spirit, and he becomes one with our spirit, and he lives with us, and we are essentially as a bride and groom. And so all of a sudden, he stood up, and he came over and asked for chalk. And I thought, well, I've often joked, someday I'm going to be interrupted midstream, and some guy's going to come up and just flatten me. And so I figured, well, here we go, this is going to be it. So I gave him the chalk and stepped back, and he turned around with tears in his eyes, and he walked over to my three circles, and he drew a bolder line around the spirit of the inmost circle, the spirit. And he said, "Gentlemen," he said, "we have told you when God saves you, he puts a bloodline around you, and demons can't cross that bloodline." He said, "This is where that line is." And what he was saying is, to his denomination, he is now, by the way, the head of that denomination internationally, but what he was saying to them was that even a believer's mind, will, and emotions and their body is susceptible to demonic activity and engagement, and so we need to recognize that the spirit wars against the flesh and vice versa, and our flesh is in league with the enemy. And we need to be careful. And of course, if we come from a background where things like familiar spirits and things like the occult and other things caused us to be demonized before we were saved, part of our salvation should be our deliverance. And I do know that in the Ivory Coast, that big church that's there, his name slips my mind, but they have thousands of people that are born again. And when they get born again, they will have maybe 150 or 200 people show up at the altar of a service. And as they do, they lead them to receive Christ. and then the entire church prays aloud a deliverance prayer for them, and they pray a deliverance prayer aloud as well. And in most Sundays, there's great deliverance going on, and people are being set free at the altar that just got saved. And then they enter a class for personal freedom, and that class is 6 months long. And I asked somebody why they don't baptize in Texas, because churches, Baptist churches like I grew up in, they count the baptisms and they report the baptisms. So you get saved on Sunday night, Sunday morning, he's going to baptize you on Sunday night, so you'll get counted. So each church is kind of measured by their numbers. And I said, why do you wait 6 months to baptize them? And he said, we want to make sure they got saved. So I thought that was quite interesting, that deliverance and salvation are both major issues there. And in my country, at least, it's like an afterthought, if they thought at all, when a person comes to Christ, that they need personal freedom.
Amen. For someone to have the Holy Spirit operating in their life to a similar way that you do, what kind of a price does a person pay?
Well, my father was a pastor, and a lot of what I rest on, I'm sure, came as I was playing with toys in the pew those 20 years, hearing things that I didn't know I was actually listening to that registered in my heart. But I remember him preaching a message one time about take up your cross and follow me. And the only cross I was familiar with was Calvary, of course. And I remember the point that he made, that we don't take up his cross and follow him. We take up our cross and follow him. And I helped an author, because I'm an author and a publisher, I helped an author the other day title his book. And title we got was Dying to Live, How You Can Experience Christ's Life. The idea is that I used to be a youth evangelist, and so a lot of my approaches kind of take an adolescent framework, but I used to tell them that I'm one of those people with two livers, and that would, of course, get their attention, and I would tell them I've got me and Jesus both in here, and only one of us can live at a time. And that's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ is in me. And he said, I die daily. And so to know the fullness of Christ is to abandon self. And one thing that troubles me in Christian work are the 100 percenters. You'll hear them a lot about, you know, Jesus, if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Well, that's cute, but the truth is he's not Lord of all of any of us. The truth is there are things about me that I'm 73 years old, there are things about me that I don't even know. The heart is deceitful and wicked, who can know it? And so how can I say that I'm 100% committed to Christ when there are things about my life and goings on and portions of me that I'm not even aware of. So I'm not big into 100 percenters, and we have to be. I'm into dying daily. I wouldn't say that I'm dead daily, but I'm dying daily, as Paul said. And in a spiritual sense, I am crucified with Christ. That is positionally true about me, but the condition in which I live doesn't necessarily reflect that at all times. And of course, spirituality and spiritual maturity is becoming who we are. So it's our condition taking on the nature of our position.
Absolutely. When people hear that our minds are supposed to be redeemed, for you in your journey, how is that? What does that process look like?
Well, I don't think that it's ever entirely redeemed. I know I have friends that are 100 percenters. At least they would tell you that. And I don't think we ever get to the place on this side of the heaven's gate that our minds are have the nature of Christ, but that is what Christ, that is what God's intention is, and that's the work that he's doing in us. And I can tell you at 73 that that's more true about me today than it was 50 years ago. And but I can also tell you that it's not entirely true today. I remember hearing a friend of mine who went to the seminary, and he said the professor offered to answer questions one day, and one of the students raised his hand, and his professor was in his 70s, and he said, Doctor, he said, at what point in a man's life does he get when he is no longer tempted in sexual ways? He said the old man scratched his bald head, and looked up for a minute, and he looked back and said, I'm not certain, but sometime after 73. So at 73, I can tell you that that is still something that has to happen. And so we just, we die daily. We are continually setting ourselves off the throne and setting Christ on the throne.
You've seen God do incredible miracles, and I know that you've been on the platform many times with Benny Hinn. Can you explain to us, is it possible to live 24/7 in the anointing, or is that something that happens when God has a particular assignment and he brings the anointing for that assignment to be carried out?
Well, there are three words that kind of interrelate in my mind. They are authority, anointing, and assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And we get confused, I think, because we think that we have all authority in heaven and in earth. Actually, Jesus actually said that. I give you all authority. And he tells us that, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. He tells us that I give you all authority, and nothing shall by any means harm you. And one of the problems with that is that he was talking to 70 people at a very specific time when he said that. When I was in the military, the U.S. military, we had war games where we played like we were at war, and but we didn't kill anybody. We were just learning how to do war. And I believe that passage there was where Jesus was sending out the 70 in pairs, and they were going to encounter demons without him. Now, we know what happened to the seven sons of Sceva. This was going to be 70 sons of Sceva. They were going to all get beaten because they did not have the Holy Spirit living in them. Pentecost had not yet happened. And so, in the sense of being born-again Christians like we are, they weren't yet. And they were no match for the first everyday run-of-the-mill demon. And so he said to them, I'm giving you power over all the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. 3 days later, they came back, and they were all excited. The idea was, we said to those demons, get out of here, go away. And Jesus, just like they do when you speak to them, they went away. And he said, well, don't get excited about that. Be glad that your name is in the book. His point was that protection and that authority was for a 3-day task. So we know that because they all but one died martyrs' deaths, we're told. So something eventually hurt them. So I get troubled when I find Christians. I wrote a book called Making Sense of Spiritual Warfare. I get troubled when I find Christians that treat the devil like, man, you can't hurt me. They are ignorant and they need some serious teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, our authority comes to us one assignment at a time, and it comes to us equipped with the anointing to carry it out. So you mentioned Brother Hinn. When you are around him and he's not on the stage, he's just like anybody else. I don't mean that he's worldly. I just mean that there's nothing special about him. And on the stage, there's nothing special about him until the Holy Spirit comes, which is a strange word to some people because isn't he omnipresent? And the answer is yes, but a God who is all ever present can also be somewhere present, as it was on the mountain with Moses, for example. So when the Holy Spirit comes on the stage, if he were on this call, he would tell you that the gift of healing that he experiences happens in the presence of believers when their faith level rises to a certain pitch. The Holy Spirit begins to honor their faith and move, and he's just an instrument that God uses. That's why he can't go into a hospital. Sometimes I ask people, do you have the power to bind Satan in the name of Jesus? And they say, well, yes. And I say, what are you sitting here for? Go into a hospital. The truth is, most of us don't know what we have the power to do, and most of us aren't doing nearly close to what we should be doing, and a lot of us are doing things that we should not at all be doing. And so this three points, the anointing and the authority and the assignment have to work together, and when they do, there's a powerful expression of God.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, with that in mind, how do we identify territorial spirits, and what do we, once we identify them, what do we do about it?
Well, I don't think we is a good way to approach it. I don't think that level of spiritual warfare is everybody's assignment. Definitely not every Christian's assignment, because we've got Christians that are wounded. They have no business being on the front lines. We've got Christians that are raw recruits. They don't want the first thing about spiritual battle. We've got some that are worldly. They're essentially wearing the enemy's uniform and trying to do battle against the enemy, which is kind of stupid. And so the idea that all of us should be engaged in territorial warfare, to me, just doesn't make any sense. I do have some a lot of thoughts about that that maybe we can talk about at another time, but maybe one of the biggest mistakes is we give people the idea that everybody should be doing that, which just isn't the case. So I think that identifying the territorial spirits, my wife was in the prayer closet one time. She writes about this in one of her books. She was in the prayer closet, and she asked the Lord, what are the five ruling spirits over the city of Houston? And she felt like he told her, and she wrote them down, and she began to go to war spiritually in prayer against them. And over the next 6 months, we lost everything. We lost all of our life savings. Our lives became a disaster zone, and she ended up in the hospital. The doctor came out of the out of the surgical suite and told me she was in 3 or 4 hours of dying peritonitis, and he was not going to do her surgery until Tuesday, and this was Friday, and I told him I would sue the hospital if he didn't do the surgery today. And so he came out to thank me. He said, your wife wouldn't have lived over the weekend. But later she asked the Lord, why did all that happen? And he said, Alice, you asked me their names. You didn't ask me what to do. And so we make a mistake when we think we are all supposed to do the same thing, and we're all supposed to do the same thing the same way. The truth is, we all have different assignments. I was in the Navy. I typed letters on board a destroyer floating in the Pacific Ocean. My brother was on Guam. He was a U.S. Marine. My other brother was a tank commander for the U.S. Army. We all had different jobs, but we all got essentially the same pay. And I'm troubled when I see people that latch on to the idea that somehow every Christian is supposed to charge hell with a water pistol, because we literally have people dying for doing that. She and I were in Ecuador, and we were teaching a group of churches down there about spiritual warfare. And the pastor came to us and told us, he said, there was a lady, a newscaster from one of the television stations, a beautiful lady, very popular in the city, and she got born again. She immediately got caught up in doing spiritual warfare to the point that since she made a living speaking and was very comfortable in front of a crowd, she literally would come to the church on Sunday morning, and in the prayer services, she would stand up and begin to rebuke the devil openly in those services. And one Sunday morning, she stood up and went into her warfare mode and dropped dead.
Wow.
And he said, we've all felt that she was premature, that she had no authority to do what she was doing. How can we pull down the spirit of pride over the city of Houston when it's our pride that keeps him in his place? You can't pull down something with one hand that you're holding up with the other. And so we need to understand that. And I think there is a major assignment along that line. But it would take another one of these calls to go further into it. But I have a book called Strategic Prayer that touches partly on that, 27 military principles taken into prayer. But let me just close with one, because my wife is trying to reach me at this point, I noticed on my phone. The idea that most of us, if you were to ask us about territorial spirits, those of us that do believe they exist and do believe there's an assignment, would tell you that the assignment is to rid the cities of those territorial rulers, get them out of here, push them out of our cities so that we can experience revival. But that's not what Jesus taught. Jesus said that when you cause the demons to leave a man, if they leave and he is left clean and empty, they will go to the dry places. They will come back seven times worse than they were, and his second state, his last state, will be worse than the first. So I don't believe that getting rid of the territorial spirits in the city of Houston, where I live, is God's goal. I think it's not about ridding the city of those territorial spirits. It's about kingdom displacement. It really is thy kingdom come. And we do that by celebrating and rejoicing in and worshiping and praising, because God does more for praise than he does for pity. It's about getting he and his spirit in rulership over our cities, and as he and his spirit come to rule in our lives and our churches and our city governments and our schools and our factories, the dark side is pushed out and is displaced by his kingdom. And maybe we can talk more about that at some other point. I appreciate being on with you today.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time. I'll let you go and chat with Alice. Thanks, Eddie.
God bless you.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Well, that was Eddie Smith. He's an absolute class act. I feel really blessed to have been able to spend some time speaking to him there in that interview. That'll be up in the archives if you missed any of it. I want to go back and listen again. And he just released a whole lot of meat there. I really would encourage you to check out some of the other archive programs that we have, including Michael Bacon. We had Darren Canning on. We had Bob Griffin on, and we've got many more exciting guests coming up in the next, well, from here on out, really. But make sure you go to Eddie and Alice Smith's website. It is uspresscenter.org. That's uspresscenter.org. A lot of what was talked about in that interview, Eddie is really specializing and writing books on, and he also has his CDs there too, so he really goes into a lot more depth. So I would just encourage you to go on to his website and support the ministry, get some of those resources and really get equipped, taught. It'll really take you to another place in your walk with the Lord. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the blood moons. Obviously, there was a lot of prophecy, and most of the prophecy that I saw, usually around these events, blood moons, certain dates, 90% of what is released is all about judgment. It's all about, God is angry, so therefore he's going to squash people. Understand is, why is God so angry? Why is there so many judgment words about America? I would hear at least 70% more judgment words about America than I do about China. Now, if you compare the two, on one hand, there's China and they're atheists. Far more atheists in China, not living for God, compared to America, where it's still predominantly a Christian nation. So something doesn't add up, you know. It doesn't add up. Take a look at this. Acts 2:20, it says the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord. Okay, now, Peter's also preaching in the book of Acts, and he goes on to talk about, or this is the context, he talks more about, you know, what does the sign mean? Well, it says this, it says, I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood. This day of the Lord, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the sign is that there's a blood moon. It turns to blood. Talks about, you know, the fire, the vapor, the smoke. It says that the sun will be turned in darkness. So from the biblical perspective, what is it? What is blood moon actually declaring? It is a sign, okay? And signs, I mean, just go back to the story of Jesus, the wise men. What are they led by? They're led by a star. So God uses the signs in the sky to communicate what he's doing on the earth. But it says here very clearly, it says that this is a sign that everyone who calls on the name will be saved. Okay, so when there's a blood moon, it's actually prophesying that there's about to be a move of God's Spirit where people are going to call upon the name of the Lord and there'll be, well, I believe, mass salvation. Now, this is how prophecy works. We've been given a grid. And the grid is 1 Corinthians 12, edification, encouragement, exhortation, and yes, it says correction. It does not say judgment. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is not giving out gifts of judgment. It's not happening. In fact, there's only two people that have like gifts of judgment, and they're the two witnesses. there is no other gift that has anything to do with God's judgment. because of our understanding of the scripture, because of what we've been taught this way that we think we just believe that God is ready, willing, wanting, looking for any opportunity to squash us. I'm not saying these prophets that are prophesying these judgments, you know, and these terrible things are going to happen because God is so angry, forgetting about the fact that he took all his wrath out on the Son and that there is only one day of judgment, and we're not on that day of judgment yet. What does it say? It'll be a great and terrible day. I'm not saying that they're false prophets. I'm just saying that you see what you focus on. If you're angry at society and you believe that, you know, God is angry at society, you know, and he just wants to, you know, and for whatever reason, maybe it's the fact that the word works up adrenaline and it excites you. Maybe it sells to a person that is really bound up in religion. You know, a judgment prophecy is going to sit really well with them. You know, that's going to sell. That's going to give you a platform. But I'll say this. See, if you're looking, you can find the devil too. The devil is all about kill, steal, and destroy. The Messiah is all about life. Okay. You might say, well, let's examine World War II, for example. you know, Hitler goes and kills ridiculous amounts of Jews, and not just Jews, but that includes Christians and people from many different beliefs. He just, you know, it was total genocide. Now, did God intervene and take Hitler out? He did. And I believe that physical restraint, when a person is acting from an evil place causing destruction, the Spirit of God will raise up armies to physically restrain them. I think God is more happy about ending wars than starting them. You know, sure, if we go off and, you know, do our own thing, disregard the Spirit of God, and we cause destruction, we cause mayhem, and, you know, we know that if we don't live out of our identity as saints, rather we live out of a false identity as a sinner, we know that, you know, we are going to cause ruin, we are going to cause destruction, and of course, that's not the Holy Spirit's will for anyone. And yes, he will intervene and put a stop to it, and put an end to it. You see, a lot of us think God's answer to what is going on in the West, you know, is to bring wars, famine, problems, make people's lives misery, and just a living hell. You know, a lot of people really believe that. But what you need to understand is, see, what is actually biblical? What does the book of Acts say? What is the book of Acts all about? Is, you know, where in the book of Acts does it talk about and God brought the you know, the nations from around Israel to come and you know, slaughter the people of Israel so they would understand that he is holy and that he is angry at them, and as a result of that, you know, their portion is death. You know, and if God comes and kills enough people, you know, and he brings enough destruction, well, yeah, the people, they'll turn to God. Now, I'll just let you in on something. Most unsaved people believe that God is already angry at them. They already blame God for all the problems that they have in their life. And you know, a lot of the time, a prophet that would come and prophesy immediate disaster and destruction, the world would actually recognize that, and they would say, "Yeah, I think you actually are talking on behalf of God." But that's not what happens in the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts is about revival. The Book of Acts is about salvation. Book of Acts is about raising up apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors, equipping the saints so that they can go out. And we can see what we've just read here in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, where it says, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." See, that's the answer. God knows what the answer is. The answer is, get the people saved. Get them living in their identity. You need to know, if everyone was living in their identity, we would not need a police force. We would not need speed limits on the roads. We would not need, you know, a law system. We wouldn't need it, because no one would be sinning. No one would be sinning. You know, and we would be wanting to appreciate and love and build each other up. And I believe that that's what God intended for this earth. Remember this, you know, Satan was not put here to torment us. We were put here to torment Satan. What we have in Christendom as Christians is what Satan was after. We torment him day in, day out. God knows it, and he's happy. You get enough Christians living in their identity. Satan doesn't have a foothold, a place. you'd be sitting, you know, imagine if a sweeping revival came into America. People living in their, all living in their identity. And Satan doesn't have a hold, and so therefore he doesn't have access or permission or ground to do anything. He has to, you know, he has to stand on the sidelines and watch what the saints are doing, wishing that he had not done what he had done, wishing that he had what they had, and knowing that their place is in heaven and his place, you know, is in hell. The Spirit of God just gave me a verse. I'm going to pull it up. Bear with me while I pull it up. I'm not going to pull it up now. I'll pull it up on Thursday when I do the webcast. But we don't understand. See, a lot of people think they understand what the Bible talks about when it talks about ear tickling. This is a big topic. Ear tickling has got nothing to do with prophesying the good and great plans of God and the fact that God has only good things to say. Actually, prophesying out of a spirit other than God. Sorry, kick me off. Where I'm going with this is, these doomsday prophecies are coming from, they're not coming from the Spirit of God. They're not. Some of them are coming from imaginations, and some of them are coming from the devil. And I'm not saying that these people are intentionally trying to do that. And I'm not saying that that these people are prophesying false in the sense that this is what Satan's plan is to bring destruction in the earth. You know, probably what they're saying is accurate, but it's not God's plan. And just remember that God's plan is bigger. And also remember this. For a teacher or a theologian to try and interpret the book of Daniel or try and interpret the book of Revelations, it doesn't work too well because Daniel and John had a prophetic language, and the Spirit of God was speaking to them in a particular prophetic language, okay? And not necessarily everything is in chronological order. You know, to understand, you need the Spirit of Revelation. And a theologian, and I just see, you know, theologians and teachers, they try to put things in chronological order and try to understand things that were never meant to be understood from a theological perspective, but rather they were meant to be understood from a prophetic language perspective. That's a pretty deep word. But it's true. See, what do all these blood moon prophecies and judgments, death and destruction. How does it actually benefit you? How does that benefit you? Does that make you feel empowered and like God has really got your back? You know, I mean, if he's going to go and squash the atheists in America, I mean, what's going to stop him from squashing you? See, See, is that good fruit? It's called fear. It's called bringing an atmosphere of fear and keeping people insecure, having an insecure view of God and who God is. Like you've got to, you know. See, nothing you do is going to please God more than he is pleased with what he has already done. You can go over to Africa and see 3.2 billion souls make a decision for the Messiah. God is not going to be more pleased with you after that than he was before it. He isn't looking at you. He's looking at the Son inside of you. And that's who you are. Anyway, I'm just saying. All right, well, I did promise that we'd do some prophetic words. So that's all we're going to do. Now, if you want a word, number to call in on. Before I give the number out, if you want a word and you've already called in to listen to the program, but you also want me to pray for you, I'm going to get you to hang up and then call back in because I can see everyone who is calling in and who's hanging up and everything else. But the number to call in on if you want prayer is 929-477-1864. That's 929-477-1864. I know another prophet, and he's done a lot of teaching on the blood moons, and he said that there's been a coinciding with these blood moons that God's going to do something really big with the Jewish people. I actually do believe that. I actually believe that there's ground for that. And he also made the statement that, you know, sometimes things are not going so well for them at that point, and the blood moon is a sign that things are about to go well. And that, to me, sounds like that's the voice of the Spirit of God. So I believe that God is about to do something in Israel. I do. I believe that there is going to be a real revival in Israel. And, you know, he's got something really special lined up for the Jewish people. All right, well, I'm going to go to the first caller here. And your first three digits of your phone number are 8, or your area code are 860. So I'm about to put you live.
Okay.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
How you doing?
Good.
What's your
Thank
name?
Thank you for your... my name is Rodney.
Oh, cool. Well, God bless you, Rodney.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, too.
Do you want prayer? Did you want prayer for anything in particular?
Just for my wife and I to be able to hear from the Lord clearly, and we need financial breakthrough or miracle or whatever, if it's through work or however, whatever the Lord has in mind.
Cool. Where you're at the moment, I get a sense that there's been a real battle for you. And I feel like there's been deflated. It seems as get something, you know, moving, so to speak, and it's like, and I just see that you've become exhausted, and I feel like this week, what's today, Tuesday for you, I already feel like yesterday, last night, you were exhausted, and you were just at a breaking point, you know, I had a vision then, and it was just like you were near your bed, and it was, you know, when someone is really stressed and they feel like their, you know, their veins are just like pulsating out of their head and just like, you know, your blood vessels are going to burst because you're stressed. But at the same time, you're just exhausted and you're just, you know, it's like, you know, where do I go from here sort of thing?
Yeah.
That makes sense to you, what I just said to you?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Now, reason I'm saying the only reason I'm saying all this is because the Spirit of God is he cares and he sees. Okay. So, but what I want to say, I want to work with you here. Okay, because I don't fully understand everything that I'm seeing, but
okay.
I feel like with your finances and uh-huh. Something to do and maybe something to do with a job or you tried something financially at one. Maybe it's you bought a house, or something. But was there a point there where you made a decision and you felt like that was a bad decision, and as a result of that, you haven't been able to sort of recover from that decision?
Yes.
Okay. Is it the house? Is it the mortgage?
No. It's not a house. That is something my wife and I would like eventually. We've been married for six
yeah.
years, and
okay.
we like to move forward for our marriage and stuff. But it was a small investment, but kind of it. Even though it was a small investment, it's still taking a toll on us, and
okay.
even with work too. A lot of it with work, the type of work. That I'm doing with sales and stuff.
In sales?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, cool. All right, now I understand now. So, two things. First thing is this. The Holy Spirit wants you to take a step back and rest.
Okay.
I see someone. Now, when I say rest, I don't mean not do anything. I mean just at this point, the best you can, and I'm not saying it's easy. I know it's difficult. Hand it to God, okay? And what God's going to do, he's going to do something inside of you this week where you're going to feel, you're not going to feel like you have to fight to go forward,
okay?
And you're going to have a rest and moving to go forward. For example, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's sweating blood, and he says to the Father, if there's any other way. And the Father just answers back, that's the will of God. So what does Jesus do? He throws the burden off. He finds peace, and then he just moves forward. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And then I'm going to give you a little bit more advice because it lines up with what I'm saying. Okay, so Jesus is crucified, right? You're going to go through a time where you're going to feel like you're in a washing machine, a tumbling dryer. And you're going to feel like it's going to seem as though you're bouncing back and forth. But there is going to be a point, okay, and know that God is on the case. He's on the case. There is going to be a point where it's going to be like Christ is crucified, then resurrected. There is going to be a resurrection in your life, and it is going to be God, and it is going to be supernatural, but it is going to be subtle, and things are just going to go on the up. I see an opportunity coming up. I don't know if you're commission only for sales. Are you commission only for sales at this point?
Basically, yes.
Okay.
99%.
Cool. That's what I saw. I see another three products. The Spirit of God is going to... You're getting on the net, and the Spirit of God is going to help you to find these you're going to find these highly sought-after products, and you're going to sell them, okay? He's gonna give you a streamline of things to sell because you have an ability to sell. It's a gift that you have, but you're actually more of a people person. Okay, you're more of a people person. You have a listening ear, and you have an ability to counsel people. And I feel like in your life you've counseled your wife a lot. It's just like you've counseled her and helped her through, and just helped her through from her past. But you're gonna be really blessing them as a result of that, with your patience and love and kindness and everything else that you've shown them. It's really going to come back to you. But I would just say that I also just get the sense that this is the whole thing. You stepped out with the investment. It didn't pay off. The next investment that you make, you're going to research. Now, understand, the scripture says that the Holy Spirit is the helper. So it doesn't necessarily say that he's going to lead you to it, but he's going.
Okay.
But what he is going to do is he is going to help you to know where to invest. I am saying to you, don't be scared to invest again. There is a pot of gold that is waiting there for you to pick up. This is not the season for you to invest. This is the season to get stable again, and I see that for the next 6 months. But the season is going to change, and then you will step out. Okay, but the Spirit of God in these next 6 months is going to speak to you. Now, I keep getting this back. Is there someone in your family, just I don't know if it's like your parents, or someone in your family that can help out financially right now? I don't know if it's your dad or your wife's dad or something like just to help with the burden. Is there someone right now that can like help you out?
Maybe my wife's parents or my aunt or something.
Okay. So I God really wants to unburden you both, okay? And so I just get this sense, don't be afraid to ask for help, okay?
Okay.
That's what I did. I really saw the parents, and even if it's a loan, and then, you know, years down the track, you pay back, whatever it is, whatever. I'm just saying, don't be afraid, okay? De-burden yourself. Give yourself the time and opportunity to sit, find those products that are going to, you know, be money spinners in the sense that they're going to bring in the income, and move forward like that. Don't feel like you are under the pump and being crushed. But I just bless you, and I pray a blessing over your household in Jesus' name.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brother. I love you. God bless you.
I love you too, bro. Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Now, I'm going to 609 was the next one. 609, I'm about to put your mic on. You are live on Anointed Supernatural Radio.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, what's your name?
Kathy.
Kathy.
Kathy, yeah. Kathy from New Jersey.
Okay. Have we talked before?
I don't think we ever talked on the phone.
I have gotten on
your supernatural show on live stream.
Cool. Yep. No, that's great. I guess you want me to just listen to the Spirit of God.
Yes, please.
All right. You know, I just I see a firestorm. There is a firestorm that is going to explode into your family. And I'm just going to go, I'm just going to go right off the bat. I see the letter H, and I don't know if it's a Heidi or Howard or something like that. Have you ever been connected to or been around someone with a name that sounds like that, or at the moment even?
My sister's name is Heidi.
Okay, sister's name is Heidi. That's what this is. And so, you know, there is a firestorm that is going to burn through your family, and it's going to burn. It's the Spirit of God, and it's going to burn and swell and just drop and launch on Heidi, and it's going to and just throughout the family. Okay, and I see that there's been a stirring of the pot. It's like, there's been this stirring of the pot, and as the pot is stirred up, you see that your family. It's just like I just see disconnections. I just see misunderstandings and there's been misunderstandings and disconnections in your family, and it's just left severed pieces, and it's just spread out all over the place. I actually feel that in America your family is, it's just like someone's over here, someone's over there. It's like no one is close, and it represents what's going on inside of the heart. But at the heart of what's going on inside of the heart of your family is your prayer life. And so as a result of your prayer life, God is going to bring this firestorm, and it's going to stir up emotions. Make people uncomfortable. But what it is going to do is it's going to cause people to respond to what the Spirit of God is saying to your family and is doing in your family and is stirring up inside your family, you know. I just prophesy over you freedom. and the messenger that has been sent to your family. You know, I just pray, place the cross between that demonic messenger and your family, and plead the blood over you. You know, may that messenger, Lord, I just prophesy freedom. I prophesy grace. I prophesy restoration. I prophesy reconciliation. I prophesy connection. You know, I prophesy the great lavished grace of God all over your family, and where He's taking your family. But you are an intercessor, and your intercessory prayer is, you know, you are sensitive in the sense that you feel, you discern things, especially through feelings, and you pick up on other people and how they're feeling, and you're very sensitive to things like rejection, in the sense that you can pick up when someone has really gone through that. And the Lord's going to use you to really minister to people that have been through that. But I'm not putting on you that the only people that you're going to minister to are rejected people, because you're not. You're also going to minister to the people that are in their identity. See another in Christ. I see the letter. Is there anyone, and I'm not saying it's a sister, I see the letter L. Laura or Lauren or something like that. Is there anyone around you or that you're connected with like that at the moment?
I know a Laura, I know a Linda. I'm not real close to them. I do, you know, I see a Linda on Wednesdays. I mean, I don't need really spend time with her. I just drop my daughter off. I can't think of.
Let me ask you a question. When you drop your daughter off to Linda, what does Linda do? What's the connection there with your daughter?
Well, I bring my kids to youth at our church, and then my daughter goes in the kids' room, and I usually go into the prayer room.
Okay, and Linda looks after the kids or the youth. Is that right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. She looks after the little kids while the older kids are in you. I'm sorry?
Yeah. I just, you know, you can send the word of the Lord forth. I feel that Linda has a bigger calling than just looking after those kids. I feel like there's something to do with prophetic art, and that might be over your life too, but something to do with, worship and art and creativity. In that way. In fact, do you do sewing or something like that, or tapestry, or just, are you into something like that at all?
No, no. I mean, my daughter's an artist. She's 8 years old, but I mean, she's she's real into art, and sometimes I help her with that, but no, not really.
Well, that kind of works because it's all connected together there. But anyway, I just pray release over your daughter, over the gifts of the prophetic seer gift that she has. I feel like your daughter is actually, she sees in the spirit, she sees angels. You know, I feel like it's something significant about the, I don't know what happened, at the age of 5, I don't know if an angel protected her or she saw an angel or what. Or what happened is something with the Spirit of God at the age of 5 for your daughter. The Lord does speak to her a lot. She is, you know, and she's not going to lose that. You don't have to worry. She's not going to lose that. She's going to have that for the rest of her life. And she's only going to grow stronger in hearing the voice of God. And she, I really feel like she's a Jeremiah. I feel like God chose her to be a prophetess before she was even born, you know, and strategically gave her to you because He knew that you would bring up a prophetess in the family. But, you know, I just see you on your knees right now, and I see that the Lord has been speaking to you about that, and I was just talking about all the doomsday prophecies and all that, but I'm just going to be perfectly honest with you that the Holy Spirit has been telling you to pray off the war that Satan wants to bring to Israel, because that's not God's plan. And I feel like he's been speaking to you about that, and I saw you on your knees praying in that prayer. I mean, as you were praying for that war to not happen, I actually saw military planes flying away from Israel. They were flying to Israel, then you were praying, and they were flying away from Israel. So
Wow, praise
God. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And everything you said, even my daughter, you know, when I was pregnant with her, I said, Lord, I thought you were going to use me. And he said, don't limit me. She's sent from heaven. And, ever since the time she was born, I've known she has a call on her life. And she's 8 and she's experienced a lot already in the Lord. And, yeah, as far as being an intercessor, absolutely praying for Israel, more so than ever lately for America and Israel, praying against war for them and us, internal war here more. But, everything you said is right on.
Hey, just quickly, the Spirit of God said something else to me. Are you presently married?
Yes.
Okay, well, the Lord says to you that you're a good wife. You're a good servant and a good wife. You have a servant's heart. And, to keep on praying because it's the Lord says that it's up from here. It's up from here.
Praise God.
Well, bless you. And I will move on to uh, 309 is your number. Hi there, you're on Anointed Supernatural Radio. How are you this evening?
Good.
Oh, that's good. What's your name?
Tracy.
Now, I know a lot of Tracys. Have we talked before?
Okay. Maybe 2-3 years ago when you used to have a online, when you were online ministering on Friday nights. Yeah.
I still am. Still am, by the way.
Okay.
So it looks like another intercessor, I just see that, you know, I see, you know, you have a prophetic heart, and I really feel that you are called to build you're wondering about your ministry, is there something to do, are you into like fashion and design and that kind of thing, or maybe not fashion, but just like design and you have a real eye for, the way that the color, a good color for a wall in a house, or just a good setup for, do you know what I'm saying? Like, do you have an eye for that kind of thing?
I do. And I'm also a hairstylist. So that's kind of art too, in a sense.
I'm just seeing that. And I'm just seeing a desire of the heart to take that to another level, because I really feel like you are called. You're actually called to bring the kingdom of heaven in the way of design and color, particularly in homes. I really feel like you are supposed to be that you are really called to when you, what's the word, advise people what is going to look good in their home, you know. I see this starting out online, and I see a series of media videos that you put up about different color contrasts and why they look good and why they don't look good. And I just see you going into people's houses and literally people paying you to advise them on how things look. But you also have an eye for design and fashion. And I don't know if you know. This is interesting. Lord just brought this up, but I don't know if you know about drop shipping or what drop shipping is, but at the moment you can actually design your own label of T-shirts online, you don't have to the factory produces the T-shirts, and so that when a person buys a T-shirt, that factory actually sends the T-shirt to them. But it's got your designs on it, and you receive a percentage of each sale. And I really feel like there's something in that for you. I feel like there's a Christian T-shirt design, not even just religious slogans, but actually good-looking design T-shirts and clothing. And I think that God's going to use that, and that might be something worth investigating. You know, in your home, where I was going before was you are called to build a prophetic culture, which of course, you know, you're declaring and you're communicating to people that you know what the voice of God is saying to your kids, husband, or
wow,
whoever, and as you do that, you know, that's a part of that, but you're also creating a culture where people can prophesy and move and experience the supernatural in your home, and the Lord wants you to do that.
Yes.
There's a particular angel.
I'm losing you.
And,
okay, wait. Say that again. I missed that last part. Hold on, baby. Hold on. I can't hear him. Oh, seriously? Are you there? Hold on, baby. Hold on. I think I lost him. I hope I didn't. Uh-huh. Hold on. Wow. Hello? No. I can't hear you. I can't hear him.
Okay, sorry, kicked me off the air. 309-2423. Sorry, don't mean it. All right, you should be back on the air now. Now,
hi.
I was just asking a question.
Okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I was just wondering if you're back, if a door opens to a deck in your house.
If there's a door in my house that opens up to a deck, is that what you asked me?
Yeah, because I saw it, but this is going to be fun. I don't know why, but I just see
it's
this
okay.
Angel standing there, protecting the house, you know, and your house is a house of peace, and the angel is attracted to your house because the peace of God resides in your house, in your home. I'm going to ask you the same question. Are you currently married at the moment?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Now, this is what the Lord told me. Okay. This is the reason I asked it, because obviously I just feel things have been changed because God wanted peace in the home, but there is peace there now. Okay. Now, don't give up now that there is peace. You know what you're looking for. You know what you're looking for, and you're looking for a man of peace, okay? And so you're going to find that man of peace, and that's going to happen, and that is God's will for your life, and the Spirit of God is going to help you find that person. So don't give up on that. Don't believe that, you know, that area of your life is over. It's not. And there is going to be a person of peace, not arguments, not fights, because they're just...
Wow.
You know, I feel like things were taken away, but to stop things, so that your kids would grow up in peace, even. But you know, God has a man of peace, and your house is a house of peace. And right now, you're a prophet in your house, and you are building a prophetic culture for your household. I also see. I don't know if it's S. I don't know if it's Stephanie or Stephen or something like that. Is anything with an S? Anyone around? Ever been around at all, like that?
Yeah. Well, I have a. My nephew's name is Stephen.
Yeah, and I just similar to the other word. I really feel like you are gonna be an influencer because you haven't had influence in your family. You know, I feel like you felt like the black sheep, but you're different. You know, and that's good. It's good to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you are going to, somehow the Spirit of God is going to bring you to a place where you're going to be an influencer in your family. But what you're doing now by raising your daughter, or you know, is that you are learning to build a prophetic culture, and you'll be doing that in churches in the future. So, you know, Spirit of God is teaching you. I know that it's hard for you to connect with the church. I feel like they've been judgmental towards you, and you know, at times, and just not understood your situation and not been supportive of your situation. But there is a reconnection point that is coming for you, because God would like to use you in the churches, you know, and he will, if you let him.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That's awesome.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
that's
blessed.
Very encouraging. Thank you.
Oh, all right.
Thanks,
all right.
David.
See ya.
Bless you.
Bless you. Uh, 203, I've got you on the air. I'm actually not sure if you wanted me to pray for you. Did you want me to pray for you?
Yes, please. I'm actually going to career fair tomorrow, and I just want a prayer for that, please.
Where are you headed?
It's actually at the school that I graduated from. So there are going to
yep.
be different companies there. And I just want to be sensitive. You know, if it's the Lord's will for me to connect with a particular company, organization, that connection would take place on tomorrow.
I see something. Does this have anything to do with something that you with what you're doing? Is there anything, something to do, or a company to do with computers or something like that? Or you? I don't know. I just saw computer. I just had computers sort of jump into my vision.
I do work on a computer all day. I'm not in computer science or have anything to do with technology. But I do know that there are going to be different companies there. I know there are going to be computer companies there, but I wasn't particularly going in that direction.
I know, I'm not saying that you should. But with the job that you want to do, are you going to be working with computers? On a computer,
I work on a computer now. I don't like any fixing, but I do like all of my work is on a computer. Like I do all my processing, everything is computer. I mean, that's the best way I can describe it.
Okay, you know, I get the sense that you're sick of the computer, and you're sick of it. I really feel like you feel like you're in a box and in a cage in front of that computer all day long. And you know, I feel like you're a people person. I see you communicating with people. I see you. I feel you've got a gift of leadership and management, you have an ability to be able to manage people. And I see, in some way, shape, or form, I see you involved with an organization that actually manages businesses. I see you overseeing oversight, like managing these businesses, and you know, you're going to make a lot of money. He's made you intelligent. He's made you a critical thinker. But at the same time, you actually have an ability to be able to communicate with people from all different facets of life and be able to do it in a way they can understand what it is that you're saying. You can explain things clearly. You know, God's going to use your analytical skills as well as your skills as a person to be able to communicate and talk. You know, but I feel like there is more to you. There is more to you, and there is more to your calling than being stuck in front of the computer all day long. I really feel like that. And I don't know if you sometimes get headaches as well, directly related to the fact that you are in front of the computer all day. I kind of get a sense that you get like behind your the cranium, like it's you get these sensory headaches, and I just break that power, and may you have an ability to sense that pain. That yes, it's natural to be in front of a computer for a long period of time and get the pain, but I pray that you know God would do something supernatural if you have to do that. I will say this: the Lord wants you in the company where you are a person of integrity. Because I see you like Daniel. You're gonna you're not necessarily called to, like, the same kind of you don't necessarily have the same kind of calling that a lot of ministers have, in the sense that they minister to the church or they're involved in Christian workplaces. I see you like Daniel. I see you working for Nebuchadnezzar's, and you know, in those kind of dark places. You're a man of integrity in those places, you know, but, just as Daniel, you know, you're going to get promoted, and the way that, Daniel, you're a prophet, you hear from God, you are to step out and say what he tells you, but see, you're going to see supernatural promotion, just as Daniel interpreted the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, and he was promoted. You're going to speak the word of the Lord, and it might be in the sense of a strategy or a plan for the organization, and you are going to find favor in upper management and the CEOs, and you're going to find yourself promoted. Yes, you'll be serving Nebuchadnezzar, but you will be an influencer and changing the atmosphere in the workplace.
Amen. Wow. that really that bears witness with me. That agrees with me. It really resonates on the inside of me. It makes a lot of sense. It really makes a lot of, I'm like, I'm amazed. It makes a lot of sense. It's interesting that you would use that term, Daniel, because I was just told not too long ago that God did not want me confined to the four walls or within one particular building, but he wanted me out and about ministering to different business leaders and entrepreneurs and spiritual leaders. And, you know, that whole marketplace ministry is the term that I'm looking for. But that's confirmation. So I definitely received that. I appreciate that.
Bless you, brother. Bless you. All right, I'm gonna wrap it up, but we're not really wrapping it up because I've got a few announcements to make. Tomorrow we have Deborah Quick, and she is going to be doing a complete review of the dream interpretation side of the school from 2 weeks ago. So make sure you check that out. Make sure you check my Facebook timeline for those details. I will be posting that information coming up. Now, also, I will be preaching and or teaching and ministering in the supernatural on Thursday at 8:30 p.m. EDT, same time that this program started. Okay, that's on the webcast. So make sure you get along to that. There'll be teaching and there will be more ministry. Now, next week we have the second installment of the school. That'll be happening on the Wednesday, and it'll be happening on the Thursday. It'll be starting at 7, probably going through to 11 on both the Wednesday and the Thursday. We will also be holding the first workshop so that we can get the prophetic and the dream interpretation team to really, you know, start moving in this stuff and start taking those steps forward. I would like to encourage you to go over to my website. It is propheticonfire.com. That's propheticonfire.com. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, please support it. I do pay for this Blog Talk Radio service monthly. Please sow something in. You can do that in the sowing section. If you've been blessed by a word, please sow in and assist me in that way. But it's always a privilege to come on here and minister. The most exciting part is I don't know who's going to be on next week. I know it's going to be a great guest. I've got quite a few people that want to do the show, be on the program. So make sure that you're checking out the Facebook, the website, and stay up to date. Also, if you are interested, we can do ministry on Skype. We can do mentoring on Skype. We can organize that. The best way to get a hold of me is to go to davidjohnreed2@gmail.com. That's davidjohnreed2@gmail.com. Or alternatively, you can message me on Facebook. But that's it for me. I'm out. God bless. Talk to you soon.